This is Jack Knack. I'm the weather medic, the doctor of weather. We have an Earth Day show today, and we have it with Charlie Bowman, the from the Western New York Peace Center Environmental Justice Task Force. He heads that. And also in Studio B, we have Evan from East Aurora, and we have Danielle from Star Point High School in, what's in Pendleton in Niagara County. And then we have...
It's five communities up in Niagara County.
Yeah, well, it's located in Pendleton, though.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and then we have Kelly Grabowski here, who's the teacher from Star Point.
Hamburg
High School. And then also now on the phone with us, we have Dr. Gordon Edwards, a longtime nuclear expert based in Montreal, who heads the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility. Dr. Edwards will discuss the shipments of spent nuclear fuel and broken fuel rods from Chalk River, Ontario, and elsewhere into the U.S., some of this, which, of course, is coming over the Peace Bridge, in which Charlie Bowman has a weekly vigil from 2 to 3 p.m. on Friday.
Yes, that's right. So, Gordon, are you there?
Hi, Charlie. How are you?
Hi, Gordon. Can you give us an overview of this issue of shipping nuclear waste around, between Canada and the United States? When did it begin, and what's the current status?
Well, Charlie, we're really entering the age of nuclear waste, and so it's going to be more and more nuclear waste shipped here and there on public roads, over public bridges, through communities, and people have got to be aware that that this is going on and realize that it's really being done primarily for the convenience of the nuclear industry, not because of any environmental necessity. So, the nuclear industry would like to just simply send this stuff through your community over whatever bridge, over whatever public roads, at their choice. Now, this particular shipment that we're talking about is particularly dangerous because the most radioactive material on Earth is the used fuel from a nuclear reactor. That's the stuff that melts down. That's the stuff that gets into the environment from accidents like Chernobyl and Fukushima, and the various radioactive materials which are spread far and wide, such as cesium-137, are all originating from the used nuclear fuel. So the used nuclear fuel bundles are so radioactive that any human being standing just less than a meter away would be killed within 20 seconds just from the intense gamma radiation from one of these fuel assemblies. Now, the reason why the shipments from Chalk River to Savannah River, that are still ongoing, by the way, they started in 2017, and what makes them particularly hazardous is that they're in liquid form. What they've done at Chalk River, Ontario, which was the very first nuclear establishment outside of the United States here in Canada, because it was part of the World War II atomic bomb program, and they had a reactor operating there for many, many years called the NRU reactor. And they have been producing medical isotopes that previously they produced plutonium for bombs, and they sent that plutonium down to the United States. They sold it to the U.S. military. But then they converted to peaceful uses, and they used it to produce medical isotopes. But the technology is very similar. In both cases, they take highly enriched uranium, the same stuff that was in the Hiroshima bomb, 93% enriched uranium. This is highly explosive. And they put it into the nuclear reactor, and the uranium atoms get split, and you get hundreds of these radioactive byproducts, including cesium-137 and many, many others. And this converts the and then they take that target out of the reactor, the target that was irradiated, and they dissolve it in boiling nitric acid in order to separate out the one thing they want, which is the medical isotope they're looking for. And all what you're left with is a huge volume of radioactive liquid, intensely radioactive. They filled up a tank called the FISST, Fissile Solution Storage Tank, at Chalk River until it was absolutely full. And now they're shipping that stuff, starting in 2017, they're shipping that stuff down to Savannah Riverside, about 2,000 miles away, over public roads and bridges. and it's in liquid form, and they're shipping about 232 liters per shipment. Now, I did a calculation. We had a court case about this in Washington, D.C. I did a calculation that 1 liter, just 1 liter of this liquid, you know, think of a liter bottle of Coca-Cola or a liter of milk, 1 liter of this material would be enough to thoroughly ruin an entire city's water supply. And there's 232 liters in each shipment, and there's about 250 shipments all in all. I calculated that we already know from the nuclear authorities that each liter has 70 billion becquerels, 70 billion becquerels of cesium-137 in it. By the way, that's for those of you who might know, for those who are listening who might know, that's four times as much cesium-137 per liter as you find in the tanks at Hanford, Washington. There's hundreds of tanks at Hanford, Washington, containing this post-World War II liquid, horrible stuff,
and that's
leaking.
Yeah, Gordon, that's roughly 60 gallons per shipment. We're hearing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my big thing is that you're shipping this over the Peace Bridge, which is, if it spills into the Peace Bridge, would go into
the Niagara River,
which would go into Lake Erie, from Lake Erie into the Lake Ontario, and really go all the way down there where you are in Montreal.
Yeah,
absolutely, and it's very nasty stuff indeed. Yeah, it turns out that this amount of cesium-137 is so high that just based on that amount alone, you'd take about 2 ounces of this material to render undrinkable. Outside of Washington, D.C., they have a reservoir called forget the name of it right now, but it's the Georgetown Reservoir. And just 2 ounces of this material would be enough to ruin that entire reservoir of drinking water.
Wow.
So you can imagine how dangerous this material is.
Yeah.
And they're still shipping it. There's only about 60% of it been shipped so far. Still another 40% that's going in the next couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, this is going over public roads. And, you know, what happens when these trucks are stuck in traffic? So you're sitting next to this odd-shaped truck, which Buffalo News a couple of years ago published a picture of one of them. And I think if they go to your website, they can see a picture of this truck, too.
That's right.
And, you know, what happens to a pregnant woman, trapped in a car sitting next to one of these trucks?
Well, people are being exposed all the time in proximity to this truck. So, for example, if you were driving behind the truck, you would be irradiated as you drive behind it because the shielding that they use can stop some of the gamma radiation, but not all of it. You can't shield all of it. And so people are being irradiated, and there's a choice made as to how much radiation can be allowed to get through. Now, it turns out that cesium-137 is very powerful gamma emitter, much more powerful than any X-ray machine. And people are being irradiated if they're stuck in traffic or if they're just following it, or even if they're just passing by in the opposite direction, they get dosages. Now, these would be much smaller dosages if you're going in the opposite direction because the contact would be short. However, one of the facts about radiation is it's not the individual dose that really makes the difference in terms of public health. It's the integrated population dose. That means all the people passing that truck are all getting a little bit of radiation, and that little radiation spread out over a large population will cause additional cancers.
Yeah, and I want to get to the what are they doing it? What are they doing with this liquid material in South Carolina? I mean, why?
Well, that's a very good point. The question is, why move the stuff at all? It shouldn't be moved.
Right.
Eventually, the rationale that's given is because this material contains what I called extremely highly enriched uranium. Once you get over 90%, you're into the weapons material, weapons-grade material. This stuff could be used by a criminal organization or by a terrorist group to make a very powerful atomic bomb, and it wouldn't require a great deal of sophistication. It's a simple kind of bomb. The Hiroshima bomb is one that never had to be tested before use, because it was so simple it couldn't fail. And that was made of highly enriched uranium, this type of uranium. So the reason for shipping it is supposedly to repatriate this weapons-grade material back to the United States where it will be downblended. That means that it will be rendered unusable for weapons by diluting it with so-called depleted uranium, and that will make it into basically reactor fuel and not weapons material. But that could be done at Chalk River. There's no reason why that couldn't be done at home base.
Yeah.
You don't have to ship it over public roads in order to do this.
Yeah.
You could do this up there
in
Canada.
You can also glassify it up there, too. I mean, in West Valley, they've they glassified the highly radioactive waste there, too. And doesn't Chalk River have that capability?
I think West Valley is having some issues with that, though, so I don't know if I would recommend that.
No. Go ahead.
They actually don't have glassification, but they have something else, which is called cementation, and it is converting it into a solid form. However, before converting it into a solid form, you would want to downblend it to get rid of the weapons usable part of it.
Okay.
Because even the solid material could be used for weapons.
Yeah.
So if you downblend it first, then solidify it, that could all be done on site. In fact, they've got 20 tanks of liquid waste at Chalk River, which they are already solidifying. So they know how to do it.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to send it over public roads or over the Peace Bridge.
Yeah, I mean, are they making bombs out of this material? Do they, you know, sometimes I hear that comment that they're possibly making, extracting the plutonium for more bombs, for new bombs.
Well, plutonium is something else again. Plutonium is a little trickier. It's a more powerful explosive, but it's a little harder to make into a bomb. The highly enriched uranium is quite easy to make into a bomb, and that's not being done in Canada. We do not have a weapons program. However, it does make sense. In the early days of the nuclear age, they were very careless with this material. They sent it all over to different parts of the world. Now they've realized, especially under the Obama administration and earlier, that this is a bad idea. And that we should not be circulating this stuff at all, because anything that's circulated commercially is going to fall into the hands of criminals sooner or later, and can be used to make these bombs.
Yeah.
So, getting rid of the highly enriched uranium makes sense, but sending it over public roads does not.
Gordon, we have some students in the audience here, so
sure.
We'd like to get some questions from the students.
Absolutely.
So go ahead.
Yeah, wasn't one of the focuses of the Iran nuclear deal that Iran couldn't enrich uranium beyond 3%? So,
right.
Because they were concerned about weapons. So if 3% is the threshold that the United States is concerned about for weapons-grade uranium, then what of 90% enriched uranium?
Well, 90% is immediately weapons-usable material, and even anything over 20% is considered highly enriched uranium. 20%, for people who don't understand what I mean when I say 20% enriched, it turns out there's two types of uranium in nature. One of them by itself would be a nuclear explosive material. That's uranium-235. The other one is not immediately usable as a nuclear explosive material. That's uranium-238. So when you talk about enrichment, you're talking about how much of the explosive variety, the uranium-235, is there. So when you say 93%, you're talking about only 7% is the non-explosive type, and the rest of it is all explosive uranium. When you talk about 3%, on the other hand, for fuel, the explosive type, the uranium-235, is so diluted that it cannot be used to cause a nuclear explosion. It can be used as nuclear fuel, but it can't be used as a nuclear explosion. So that's the difference.
Oh, so that's pretty interesting. What about, like, thorium reactors? I've been reading about those as a modern replacement for the current nuclear reactor system that wouldn't produce any weapons-grade products, and the waste products would break down in hundreds of years rather than hundreds of millions of years. Do you think that's a reasonable solution while we're transitioning on to... Well, we're transitioning to a new...
Unfortunately, with the nuclear industry, you're dealing with a lot of public relations lies. You're dealing with, for example, when they say nuclear power is safe, well, that's only safe if nothing bad happens. And what kind of safety is that?
Well, isn't that like safety better than the alternative, which is oil and coal? Like, I mean, they kill a lot of people too, but nuclear power just looks scarier because we see it's like planes versus cars. Cars kill way more people than planes every year, but plane crashes are bigger. The news reports on them more. They seem scarier. So maybe nuclear energy is the solution we need while we're transitioning to a green energy system.
Well, there's lots of studies showing that nuclear energy is far too slow. Right now, the percentage of nuclear electricity in the world has declined from 17% of world electricity in 1997. Now it's down to below 11% of total electricity, and it's still going. It's still going down. So nuclear power is way too slow and way too expensive to replace oil. In fact, the renewables are coming on like gangbusters. They're going much, much faster than nuclear. They've been increasing dramatically, while nuclear has been declining. With regard to thorium, getting back to your question about thorium. Thorium does produce a nuclear explosive material called an artificial isotope of uranium called uranium-233, which is a very powerful explosive. So it's not true that thorium reactors don't produce nuclear weapons usable materials. It's also not true that the wastes are so short-lived. In fact, there's lots of long-lived wastes with the thorium reactors as well. Many people, the industry doesn't like to tell you that there are dozens of isotopes, the radioactive materials created inside the reactor core, which have half-lives of tens of thousands, even millions of years, which have very long half-lives, and which cannot be got rid of by any method known to science. And the one thing about radioactivity is nobody knows how to shut it off. Now, getting back to your question about the comparison between global warming and nuclear as threats, you're right, they're both threats. But the cure to global warming is really renewables and sustainable energy, not nuclear. Nuclear just diverts resources away from the real solutions, which are energy efficiency and renewables. And meanwhile, nuclear poses the threat of nuclear weapons being developed, which can cause climate change in a matter of hours. If you have an all-out nuclear war, you're going to have global freezing, a global blockage out of the sun's rays, which is going to cause huge hardship for years afterwards as a result of what they call nuclear winter. So climate change is definitely a reality. Climate change is definitely a priority. Nuclear is not the solution to it, and in fact, nuclear simply poses its own problems on top of the climate change problems.
Yeah, if you want to read about the horrors of what could happen, read Dr. Von Hippel's from Princeton University's papers on what could have happened at Fukushima, you know, if the water levels covering the rods, you know, they came within a few feet of having to evacuate Tokyo. I mean,
my big point is that if you take a look at this country is 250, give or take a few years old, and nuclear is going to have to be stored for millions of years. So are we going to be around in a million years with different language and stuff to have somebody actually look at that and store that?
That's a very good question. In fact, I've been invited to go to Sweden on a panel for 3 days to talk precisely about the question, how do we communicate the hazard of the radioactive waste that we bury today to generations, many generations in the future, 1,000, 2,000 years in the future? How do we communicate? We don't even know what language they're going to be speaking. Giving timely warning is a problem. The fact of the matter is that one of the lies of nuclear power is they say that we have a solution to nuclear waste. We, in fact, don't. There's no way that we know how to shut off nuclear waste or neutralize it or render it harmless. All we can do is put it in one place and hope that it stays there. And, you know, an act of faith rather than a scientific thing. You can't prove scientifically that things are going to stay where you put them.
Yeah.
Dr. Edwards, can I just ask you a question? What is the policy of the Canadian government on this and the Ontario government on this? And what are opposition MPs at the federal and provincial level doing about this? I mean, you've made a good case for why this should be stopped immediately. Is there anybody out there who's at the government level or political level doing something to try to stop this?
Actually, Canada was involved in the World War II atomic bomb project. We invested about $17 billion in subsidies into developing the nuclear industry. The whole nuclear industry and the uranium industry in Canada were actually the products of the Canadian government. As a result of that, the Canadian government is very pro-nuclear and always has been, and very much likes to sell nuclear reactors to other regimes. Like, we sold reactors to India, to Pakistan, both of which now have atomic bombs. We sold reactors to Argentina when the generals were in power, and they were on the process. They were in the process of developing atomic bombs. They haven't done so because they were replaced. And we sold them to other regimes as well. So our Canadian government is, in fact, pro-nuclear, always has been. And we are trying to, here in Canada, we have, like in Ontario, we have 20 nuclear reactors owned by the Ontario publicly owned utility, but they can't build any new reactors. There have been no new reactors ordered anywhere in Canada since 1978. So it's been a huge drought of new sales. And what they're now doing is they're spending tens of billions of dollars in refurbishing these old reactors, fixing them up, rebuilding them from the inside in order to extend their lifetime by another 20 or 30 years. We feel that this is a foolish policy because it's far more expensive than buying renewable energy. Here in Quebec, we have a huge surplus of water-generated power that could be sold at half the price to replace those nuclear facilities. So there is a strong opposition trying to talk sense into the various levels of government, but there is a they tend to hold on to these technologies because what else are they going to sell overseas that costs $1 billion?
Yes, I understand.
You can sell that cost $1 billion at a shot.
Yes, I understand that there's support for the nuclear industry as a whole, but are Canadians aware of nuclear waste being transported over roads and the associated dangers involved in that? Are Canadian public aware of this? Are Canadian elected officials? You know, I'm thinking maybe I should contact some MPs and maybe the opposition environmental critic of the opposition and alert them about this. And maybe this is an issue that should be raised in the House of Commons and the Ontario legislature.
You have a very good point. And, in fact, this is happening because now they're starting to move this radioactive waste. Here in Quebec, there were 400 municipalities that passed resolutions in their town councils against the shipment of 1,600 tons of radioactive waste they wanted to ship through the St. Lawrence Seaway. And those shipments were stopped, not because of lack of approval, but because of massive public opposition. We now have First Nations in Ontario who have passed strong resolutions against the transport of radioactive waste, including these shipments that we talked about down to Savannah River. But we've learned recently, just in the last month, as a matter of fact, we've learned that they're planning to have 2,000 shipments of radioactive waste from Manitoba to Chalk River, Ontario, and they will be passing right through northern Ontario communities and lots of Indigenous First Nations communities. So there is a growing awareness. More recently, we've had 137 municipalities in the Ottawa Valley who have, and that includes Montreal, the city of Montreal, passing strong resolutions against the building of what's called a mega dump. We call it a mega dump. It's a huge radioactive waste surface dump, 5 to 7 stories high, covering the equivalent of 40 hockey rinks, if you know what hockey is.
We in Buffalo know what that is.
It's less than 1 kilometer from the Ottawa River, and it's which runs right down to the St. Lawrence, and they want to put in a million cubic meters of mixed radioactive waste right on the surface.
Yeah, Gordon.
Huge dump.
Yeah, Gordon, we have to wrap up. Can you... So can you give us some closing comments? We have to take a...
Well, in North America, there's no doubt that the age of nuclear power is finished. There's not going to be building any more nuclear reactors anywhere in North America, and even executives of the nuclear industry say so. But the age of nuclear waste is just beginning, and people have got to be aware that nuclear waste, which used to be kept on site and off the highways, is now invading our highways and invading our community, so it's very important to become politically active on that.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Again, thank you, Dr. Gordon Edwards. What's your website again?
CCNR.org.
Okay.
That's CharlesNormanRoger.org.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Gordon Edwards.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll get you back on the show here maybe later this summer. So thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Great. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.